This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sorry, I almost burped.
Thought you were having trouble swallowing those unsalted nuts.
Oh,
that's what
no.
That looked like.
Down the trap. What is it called?
Down the hatch.
Down the hatch.
Hatch. Hello and welcome back to the Pod of Taylor podcast. My name is Adam, and as always, I'm joined with my wonderful, fabulous, beautiful co-hosts, Nicole and Becca.
Oh,
hello.
Hello.
Nice. Hi.
I was trying to think of other verbs. Is that a verb? Wonderful, beautiful, fabulous?
Those are adjectives.
Adjectives. Seriously, I'm so bad at that.
Verb is so person, place, or thing, right?
No, that's a
noun.
No,
it's an action.
A verb is an action.
A verb is
You're
an action.
You're doing it.
An adjective is descriptive of something.
Of a noun.
And then an adverb is...
descriptive of...
a
an
verb?
Adjective?
A verb.
So run quickly. Quickly would be an adverb.
Yes.
Look at us learning.
Look at
She's going to have to explain this to me again at some point, though, because I won't retain that information. It didn't stick from grammar school. It ain't sticking
there. Yeah.
It didn't skip... No. Or sorry, skip. It didn't retain even from when we did our ad libs. Remember when we were in our ad lib era?
I remember that era.
I was so nervous about those every time because I was like, I'm an idiot.
Me too. Same.
You know, those are so fun though.
Yeah,
they are.
I have a I book. Love an ad lib. I bought us a book and we never did it. So
we should bring it back.
Yeah.
We should bring the ad libs back. Follow our Patreon if you want to be in the ad lib insider
era.
That was like our first couple episodes we did that because it was just
fun.
I don't even know if we knew what to talk about.
No, we didn't.
Well,
anyway,
what are we
speaking
talking about
today? We are going to be talking about like some of our favorite plant places that we've been that aren't plant shops. So that's what you can expect from this episode. But before we get into the topic, we always do a catch up. Check in with each other's lives. We haven't recorded for a couple weeks, so lots of things to update on.
Yeah.
But anyway, Becca, you want to go first? Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, you've been the busy bee.
Sure. Well, we went on a trip to Jamaica. We just got back and...
Bahamas.
Freak, I keep doing that. It felt so similar. But I will say that the Bahamas felt cleaner. I went to Nassau in the Bahamas, not the entire country of the Bahamas. I went to Nassau. Nassau felt a little bit cleaner. In Jamaica, I went to Montego Bay. I don't know. It just, the area that I was in was much more secluded. And I think maybe that's why it wasn't like the city center, which is where I was in Montego Bay. Anyway, it was great. It was different as compared to previous vacations we've taken because we brought our baby. So you just, the trip goes differently when you have a baby. And we learned a lot of lessons and did not do a lot of things.
Ooh, okay. So let's do top three lessons you've learned taking a baby. And by baby, we mean under a year old on vacation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, number one, less is more, just in general. I brought toys. She did not give a fuck about the toys. Not at all.
I saw that post.
Yeah. She was like, what's this? Anyway, give me the pill bottle.
Give me that water bottle. Crunch, crunch.
Oh, that box looks so fun.
Literally. And I didn't like leave her unattended with any of these things because like obviously they could potentially be pretty dangerous. But like, you know, when we're on the plane and she wants to rattle something, did I give her my bottle of Zoloft? Yes. Like, I don't know. Just less is more. They don't.
Those are mommy's pills.
This is mommy's crazy pills. Keep me sane. Don't lose it. So, yeah, less is more. Number two, go with the flow and just like be prepared for anything, I guess. Like be prepared for a lot and be prepared for nothing. So we went in with zero expectations. Like we just did not even know how it would go. We just didn't put any like plans. Like we didn't pre-plan anything, which is good because I feel like we had higher hopes. And when we got there, we were like, oh, okay, so this is a lot harder because we could have gone off and done things by ourselves. Like Daniel could have gone on his little snorkeling thing or I could have gone to the spa. But then it's like, we're tired.
Yeah.
And then you have to do it alone, you know? Yeah. And I like solo travel, but I feel like it's different when you set out on a trip by yourself than when you go with your family and you're like, okay, but I'm going to go do this by myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
So low expectations. That. And then number three, I would say just be unapologetic about bringing your kid in public because they're allowed to be there. Like, even if they're crying, they're allowed to be there. They are just as much a human as everybody else. And people who don't like kids just because their kids are weird, and that's not your problem. Yeah. Like, just bottom line, like, I might get hate for that, but it's just weird. Like, you don't have to, like, want kids or, like, want to be around them even. But, like, if you're, like, actively, like, hating on kids and, like, upset that they're around.
Yeah.
Go stay in an adults-only resort then. Don't go eat at the local restaurant in town. You know what I mean?
Well, so, yeah, that's true because there are those places. When you go anywhere, I feel tropical, they have adults-only hotels. And for that reason, I think, you know?
Totally. And it has its place. Like, is it enjoyable? And I think here's where I'm going to have a caveat. Like, is it enjoyable to listen to a kid crying while you're at dinner? No, I'm not saying that that is enjoyable at all, and the parents are probably very stressed that it's happening. Yeah. But like adding on to the stress by like making a scene is just not fun. And I say all of this having a kid who did not make a scene. She was like an angel everywhere we went. She did not have a public meltdown. I was gonna say,
did something happen where someone made you feel a certain way?
No, not at all. And I think that's what gave me encouragement to be like, okay, people actually don't care. Like they're like fine, you know what I mean?
Is this something that you were worried about going to places?
A little bit. I mean, before I had a kid, I was worried that like, because you hear about public meltdowns, and I feel like that's more of a toddler thing than like an infant thing
for sure.
So we're still in for it, you know, we're still brewing that pie. But no, there was no like public freakouts. She's generally like just such a super chill baby. Just happy to be anywhere, sleep anywhere, like on the go, naps and all of that. Except when it's nighttime, she won't sleep. But that's another conversation. Yeah. So those are my three takeaways.
Those are helpful, nice. I'm sure, with people who have little babies or who are pregnant and planning on traveling. I kind of regret that. Like we never took Mia on a vacation when she was little. Like I remember going to Colorado. It was a road trip. But that was like very uneventful. It was more for us. We never went anywhere tropical when she was little. Her first plane ride was when she was 7 to Tennessee. So like we didn't really do that. Like this is going to be her first tropical vacation, going to Aruba in a few weeks. And she's 16. But hey, you know, it is what it is.
Here's the thing, though, is like, they're not going to remember prior to like age 12 to 14 to 6. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you take them or you don't, I feel like they're not going to remember. I don't remember going on trips until like we went to Hawaii when I was like 14. But that's like the first vacation I truly remembered. So I don't think you need to hold on to that guilt if you have any.
Yeah. I think it is also because we had a lot of help. It depends on, you know, where you live, who's around. Not that we pawned her off on people to just go party on vacation. We may have done it once. But like, I remember thinking like, okay, we have money for a vacation. Let's just us go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They're not going to remember it. But the pictures are there. Little Nora on the beach.
She's such a cute. She's such a cute little beach baby in her little swimsuit. Oh my god,
She is
so cute. So cute. She was adorable, and she did try to eat everything. When does that? When does that go away? Like when they stop putting everything in their mouth? Does that ever go away?
How did she feel about sand? That was going to be my question.
She didn't put the sand in her mouth, but she did like grab it.
Uh-huh.
And like, it took her a little while, but she learned that she had to like grab it and open her hand the other way and that it wouldn't fall out. It's like that was cute to like watch her like realize that and then like pick it up. And but she would like pick things out of the sand and like try to eat it. Like, I don't know what they were, but it's just like beach debris from the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a little stressful. And actually one time the tide randomly, like a wave came up really high and me and Dan were sitting in chairs and she was on the ground on a blanket just with playing with a water bottle or something. And then the wave comes up.
Knocks her over.
It like, it got her all wet. It didn't knock her over, thankfully, but she like did the thing where they go. She's like realizing what happened and then she starts crying. It was super funny.
Oh, that's funny.
That is good.
Yeah.
Did you guys take her in the ocean? I love that.
We did. Our hotel had like a little inlet, like kind of like a marina, but not, you know how there's like little inlets in it.
Yeah.
So it felt more like a lake or like a pond. There was no waves or anything. So it was very still. So we had this little floaty thing that we took her out in that. I don't think I would have felt comfortable taking her out where there were waves.
Yeah.
That's just so much more unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially when she's this little. When she's maybe a couple months older even, I feel like it'd be fine. But yeah, no, the inlet was nice because we could just float her around and she liked it. I mean, I didn't know how she'd feel about like the cold water because she's only ever been in like bath water, but she didn't care.
Until it hit her on the blanket.
Yeah, she was like not expecting it. And she's like, what the heck? I'm wet. Now
she came out of nowhere, Mom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
It'd be like that. But yeah, imagine if we like weren't paying attention and the wave just like took her out. Like, be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All in all, though, good trip.
Yeah. All in all, I would give it like a 7 out of 10. And that's pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for your first big like trip away, not seeing family or friends with a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you took multiple plane rides too, because you went to visit family first and then you went to the Bahamas. And she did good on the plane.
Yeah, she did great on the plane. Like, was interacting with people, was just chill. I mean, but she was really wiggly. So I think next time we fly, we might have to buy her a seat. I don't know. Unless we want to be cheap. I don't want to have to buy her a seat. They're so expensive.
I would milk that shit till she's two. That is like the biggest benefit. But I get it. You know, you have a jumping baby in your lap for hours.
Yeah. It's a little tough. It was a little tough at 10 months. But maybe when she's a little older, she'll like be enthralled in an activity and she won't be just like bouncing around. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had your grandpa's birthday. So how was that?
Yeah.
Oh, grandpa's birthday was good. I saw my uncle. I haven't seen my uncle in a really long time. He like builds those wind turbine things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he travels a lot doing that. And I think I don't think he's building them anymore. But anyway, he's somewhere in that realm of things. And he and my dad have this thing where they like roast each other. And I was just like so shook. I like forgot they did that. And like my stepdad is a short man. He's a short king. And my uncle is very tall. And he was like going to do something. And my dad was like, oh, do you want some help? He's like, I don't need your help. Your body's about as long as one of my arms. And I wasn't expecting it. And my dad just like, they just laughed because it's just something they do. And I was like, that's so mean.
Don't they're saying
to
way.
Each other. Literally, I was just like, like that's my feelings so were hurt for him, but my dad was like, like didn't care. I'm like, ugh.
That's funny.
If someone that's said funny. That about me, I would be gutted. I would think about it for the next 5 years.
Oh man.
But no, it was good. It was nice to see family, and my grandparents have like a couple acres in New Mexico, and they have bees. Like, my grandma's a beekeeper. They also have a big garden, and it's fun to go to their house. Their house feels like my childhood, like, in a big way. So I really love their property and, like, how I feel when I'm there. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Did you see the bees?
Oh, I love that.
I did from afar. She said that if you get too close, they do, like, sting you because it's an unfamiliar smell. But yeah, I did see the bees and it was cool. Like, it makes me want to have bees eventually, like in that backfield back there. I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, she harvests honey and it's just interesting. It's like a whole world. Like, beekeeping is like a whole thing to unlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eventually I'll do it, I'm sure. But yeah.
My friend Jason does it and it was cool watching him. Like, I went with him to take care of his bees when I went back like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool watching the whole process, like the spinners to get the honey out, like, mm-hmm. you know, all of it. It was just really neat.
It's so crazy. Oh my gosh.
It's fascinating.
The one venue that I photograph a lot at is a farm and they have bees in the back, and every wedding they bring out like a whole chunk of honeycomb. And I remember one time I was there, they're like, do you want to taste it? Like, fresh from the bee thingies, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Did
so
you taste it?
Good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I hate those ASMR videos of people chewing honeycomb.
Oh, I hate looking at honeycomb because, you know, the trypophobia.
Like, yeah.
I forget that you have trypophobia.
Yeah, it's not awful.
I do like too.
Mia has it really bad. Like, she cannot look at it, but honeycomb's one of those things where I feel like a lot of people are uncomfortable looking at because you know what's going in there, you know, like,
ooh. Yeah. Ew. For me, it's the lotus. Is it the lotus flower? When I saw that, the seed pod, when I saw that for the first time, my skin, like, I got chills. Ugh. And that's when I figured out that I have trypophobia. And then mm-hmm. I just started thinking about other holes that freaked me out. And I was like,
sunflowers. Sunflowers do that too.
So gross.
Lotus seed pods were like a big thing in like the bouquets in my wedding.
Yeah.
Like, big time. Like, that was everywhere. We went and collected them all. Like, we collected them from lakes.
Oh, that's cool.
In
that's
Southern cool. Illinois. But here's what's not cool, because they actually is like a seed inside those holes, you know, like they rattle. But there's also spiders that have a bulbous abdominal or thorax that pose like those seeds. So if like a bug comes over there, it can just like flip around and grab it. And I had all of these like seed pods in my bag in my car, and I like get them out to wash them out, and spiders are just like crawling out. It was the worst thing I've, because, you know, the thing is, I'm not that afraid of spiders, but they startle you when you're not expecting a spider and one just pops up.
Yeah. And not crawling great. Out of a little not tiny great. Baby hole is oh, I've been watching the cicada videos, of course.
Are a glutton for pain, like self-inflicted trauma.
That's
you're just
true.
Like, oh,
it's true. They come up from the ground and they create all these little holes, and it's just so gross. I can't do it.
Every time you step on grass, there's cicadas living underneath it.
They said, you know what they said? They said, if you see your dogs outside with like their head to the ground, it's because they can hear them coming up.
Oh.
The ground's going to start moving.
Oh my gosh. Any update from you, Colan?
Not really. I went to Wisconsin last week and I went to a farm. It was a friend of Bree's, and they had Highland cows and little baby goats.
Oh, I love Highland cows.
Highland cows are so sweet, too. Like, they all just came up to the fence, and they're so soft, and I just wanted to take one home. And then there were little baby goats that just let you pick them up. One I was holding, and he was just digging his head into my chest and, like, sleeping on my chest.
He's looking for milk.
Well.
I was like, these are dry. I've been dry for a long time.
I never felt a pillow like that. Okay. This is Serta who? Fuck them.
Seriously.
For real. It doesn't get better than this. But like, I was like, so if I was interested in, well, hypothetically speaking, buying a goat, how much would one set me back? And she's like, that one right there would probably be like $175, $200. And I'm like, dollars? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, fucking dogs are more expensive than a goat. I'm getting a goat. Like, I am getting a goat. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. If we buy a house in the suburbs, gonna name it Billy.
You're gonna get a goat in the suburbs?
What are you going to do with it? Just like is that allowed? Let it roam the yard?
I can, yeah. Yeah, you can have a go. I mean, we have enough space. It's mainly about like the amount of space that you give them, right? I got to do more research. Obviously, I'm a city gal, but I'm going
to
have one.
You won't need to mow your yard.
I was just about to say that. You will never need to mow again.
Yep.
And goats are the only mammals with square pupils. That's my Snapple fact I ever tell people.
They're so pretty.
Okay, but this is reminding me of an interaction you and I had, Nicole, because I sent you a TikTok of a little pig that someone had as a pet, like hopping around their kitchen, and you were like, I need to have a pig, and I said, okay, but are you gonna stop eating bacon? And you went, no, sad face. So then the same thing with a Highland cow. You're like, oh, it's so cute, but are you gonna stop getting that double cheeseburger?
Probably not. Oh, that's so bad.
I wonder if Highland cow meat is different than regular cow meat.
I don't know.
I've had it. You know Jeff from Vintage Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has Highland cows and he gave me a bunch of meat. And it was really good. Yeah.
Trigger warning for those vegans.
I know. I'm sorry, vegans. Guys. I don't know in what way it's different. I don't remember, but it did taste different. Like maybe it tasted different because it was like farm. You know what I mean? Like a small farm rather than like grocery store meat. I don't know.
See, that's what I was thinking. Like, is there some sort of certification? I think I've brought this up either on this podcast or we've talked about it as friends or Patreon, but certification to say like this was raised by somebody who loved it and this cow has reached, you know, its end of life or there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You know. And then it's lovingly taken down and whatever, you know. I feel like I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
But it's the machine farming that and like the mass that I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard because I am a carnivore, I tell ya. But there was this one cow that came up to the fence and it wasn't a Highland cow. And she was like, yeah, that's our meat cow. And they had like name tags on them. And she was like, I'm sad about it. I don't want to talk about it. So, of course, I didn't ask any questions. But then when we left, I asked Bree and I was like, what do you mean by meat cow? And she's like, well, I think that like it's reached its age. So, you know, they might put it down soon. Yeah. But I was like, okay, that seems humane to me, right? You're letting this cow live its life, its best life, because this farm is huge. But how the fuck do you eat something that you raise knowingly?
I literally could not. Be like, which is why I would never make it in the world if there's a zombie apocalypse or
me neither.
As a pioneer, I would have been dead.
No. There's like a certain amount. Okay, so living in rural Missouri and my father-in-law raised meat cows. And Daniel has this detachment too because he used to hunt deer to eat. There's like a detachment to animals that like you psychologically have to have. I don't have it, but like Daniel's just not attached to animals the way that I am.
Yeah.
So I think it's like from a young age you need to cultivate that or you just don't have it. Which is makes me question. Is it ethical to eat meat then? I don't know, but like it's so.
I know that's the battle I go through too. Is because I say like if like I just don't know ever where the meat comes from. But like if I had to get the meat myself, I would never eat meat.
I would figure it out another way. There'd be no way in hell. Absolutely not. So even
that's
chickens.
That's when I still have that same exact thought, Becca. Of like, well, then should I really be eating it?
Yeah, I know. I go through this too.
It is a lot of work though. Like, sorry, Nicole. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I did it for 10 months. I didn't eat meat at all for 10 months. I ate fish. So that's what pescatarian. But it's so good.
it's so good. And also it has a lot of nutrients that you have to work really hard to replace if you don't eat meat, which is a lot of work that most people don't want to do. And like, that's okay. But when I was vegetarian for a moment, I had really I had an iron depletion moment. Same. Where it was really bad for like my health. And I didn't properly replace the iron and other nutrients. And so my body really paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of work to be vegetarian or vegan. It just is.
Mia eats steak at least, I'd say, twice a week. She eats salmon, and she still has an iron deficiency, like a high iron deficiency, so she has to take supplements. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm glad that you don't want to be a vegetarian, because you'd be screwed trying to get that iron in, you know?
I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know that that you can eat Highland cow. Like, I thought that they were just raised bred to be show cattle. Like, I didn't know that, because they're so beautiful. But they also had cats on the farm, and two of them had litters, like tiny baby, like couple week old kittens. I took some videos and some pictures, but they were so tiny, like the size of my palm, tiny.
Oh my gosh. And
it's sweet because they don't, like, they give them away for free, and then they just ask that you bring like a bag of food to feed the adult cats like through the winter. And I was like, that's so sweet that you're just, you know, you're not selling them, you're just giving them to people because they're so cute. And they were beautiful colors too.
Mm. Yeah.
That is
so
sweet.
That was probably the highlight of my trip, other than seeing my friend, of course. But that was so much fun. We spent like 4 hours there just holding animals, and it was like the best serotonin spike I could have gotten in a long time. And I told her that. I was like, you know, you should charge people to come here and hold these animals. Like, this is a business. Like, people would do it, you know? And she's like, I've thought about it. But she's in the middle of nowhere. It was like an hour from Bree's house even, but
yeah,
people will pay, people will come.
Yeah.
But then also that trips into the territory of like how we always say, like, not everything needs to be a business, or like, you know, like, you know, because then it takes the fun out of it.
That's true,
I think. But yeah, but I get it. There's a couple petting zoos like near where I grew up and stuff. But yeah, anyway, much going on in my life. I took my World Naked Gardening Day photo yesterday because it's happening this Saturday.
Oh, yay! Is it this Saturday already?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. May 4th.
I didn't do it last year. Maybe I didn't do it for the past couple years.
You didn't? Anyway.
No, you didn't do it last year.
I didn't do it last year. I did not do it last year. No, it snuck up on me last year.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, how risque are we talking here? How much skin are we showing?
Oh, like not much.
Oh, I was going to say, not much is covered.
I even covered the nips just because I was like, solidarity, free the nip, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, I think it'll be fun. It's basically just like a reason to post a naked photo, because like, I didn't even do it. I'm not even outside.
Okay.
There's just a couple plants in the shot and my planta potty. Like, you know, it was fun.
World Naked Gardening Day is too early in the season. Like, nobody's garden is like grown out to even be able to be shielded by an outdoor plant.
Yeah, in the Midwest. Yeah. Maybe down south, but not here yet. What about you, Becca?
It's always a weird thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's always a weird thing because it's like, I'm not gardening outside because I don't do outside, but I do indoor garden with my plants. So I was like, is this like fate? But anyway, it's fine. No. It's fun. It's a body positive, like, feel good in your skin kind of situation.
I feel like a lot of houseplant community, people in the houseplant community do it, because that's exactly right. You're gardening inside. But Becca just chopped all of her hair off. We're talking cute mom bob going on. So I think Becca needs a World Naked Gardening Day photo.
Shit, I should have waited to cut my hair until after World Naked Gardening Day. That would have been so much easier.
Oh, because it covers the nips.
I might post the picture that you took of me, Nicole, for my World Naked Gardening.
Yay.
I think I might do that. We'll see. I'm going to talk to Daniel. I don't know if he would like that. We'll see.
Yeah. You could improvise. You could place a sticker somewhere, you know?
Yeah. in other news, something that's really making me happy as of late is the fact that, and this is like pop culture news. I know we're at the 30 minute mark, but this will be quick.
Oh my god, you saw me look at the time. That is so funny. I'm sorry.
I watch you do it all the time. You're just like,
go ahead. I wasn't doing that to like be like, wrap it up. I just realized I hadn't looked at the time this whole time. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
They're going to reclassify, the Biden administration is reclassifying marijuana as a class 3 controlled substance, which is going to expunge a lot of records, allow people to have jobs because they won't have felony. Like, this is such, this is something that should have happened a long time ago, because we can all walk into a store and buy weed like it's a freaking Apple product.
Mm-hmm.
And the whites are capitalizing and getting so rich off of weed, while there's so many people of color still in jail because of like very low weed offenses.
Yeah.
Because the war on drug was a failure.
It Fuck pisses you, Nixon. Me off that he's doing it now, because I feel like.
Also, Nancy Reagan. Fuck you, too.
Yeah, fuck you, Nancy Reagan. Okay. But anyway. I feel this is what pisses me off about politics. It's like it. I feel like a lot of shit should happen earlier in like a president's term, but everything happens in the last year of office because it's a fucking election year, especially when they're up for re-election. And I'm like, okay, is he doing this now?
Yeah, because timing is weird.
It's always weird. It's always weird to me. Like, within the last 6 months of your term, you're going to all of a sudden do these great things. Like, why couldn't have this been done if this was on your agenda earlier on in your presidency? It just pisses me off, but I am very happy about that.
Yeah. Now, next up, figure out a path to citizenship for dreamers. Cause this is, I mean, this is insane to think that there are a whole generation of 30-year-olds having kids, working for years, paying so much in taxes and never being able to vote, never being able to leave the country if they want to. Like, what the hell?
It's bullshit.
Yeah. We're going to be in limbo for this long? No one even wants to do it. Democrats and Republicans. No one wants to touch it.
It's so...
It's insane.
Shitty.
Anyway, not to get political.
Well.
In another lighthearted note, I bought pet insurance for my dog and my cat, so that's where I'm at in life.
You did.
Oh, who'd you go with?
That's another level of adulting that I'm not at.
Well, because I got a Costco membership. And then I saw a little pamphlet for pet insurance, and my friend Lydia unfortunately had an incident with her dog where she had to take it to the vet, and like the bills were thousands of dollars. Yeah. And I will pay that because I love my animals. If I could fix something, I'm going to try to do it. But anyway, so I kind of did the calculations. If the premiums stay the same over 5 years, I'd be paying like $2,100, which I'm like, ugh, because I was trying to. But then I was like, well, if I take Mai Tai to the vet with an accident or patches, I think the bill's going to be more than $2,100.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We get shots.
So then I'm like, I'm good with this. Anyway.
Yeah. Because, I mean, our vet visit each year, we budget $1,000 a year just for vet bills. And that's just basic immunizations, you know, and like blood work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's very much worth it. We have a Costco membership. Only, is it like for part them of too? That?
It was, so you get a discount through FIGO. FIGO?
Mm.
It was paid $35 a month for both of them. And I just did accident injury. I didn't do like the basic wellness. I mean, you could do that, but I just did accident injury.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, $35 a month, sure. Peace of mind for your pets.
That's fine.
Cancel Netflix and it's paid for. Jesus.
Cancel.
Can you guys hear the thunder right now?
No, but I keep seeing you take your thing out.
Yeah, we're supposed to get rumbling.
I think that you guys are under like a tornado watch too.
I think so too, because I heard the tornado sirens and they should not have been going off today because the test was yesterday.
Like, should you be in the basement?
See, that's what I was. Yeah, that just clicked for me. Like a few hours ago, I heard it, but I.
Tell me you're from Tucson without telling me you're from Tucson.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I feel like if it was really a bad situation, Daniel would have come home, though. I think that's why I'm not freaking out.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is also from Iowa and, like, generally is not perturbed by
bothered
tornadoes. Anyway.
Well, you keep us posted. If we have to and get take cover,
It'll be fine.
Okay. It out you guys
just
room.
Saw the you just saw the tornado that went through Nebraska. Like, that's why I was so scared growing up.
Yeah,
and that was in the daytime, thankfully. But at nighttime, when you only have to count on lightning to light it up,
but why that's is scary. There? Why are tornadoes like mostly at night? There's some scientific research behind this. Most of them come after the sun goes down. And it makes it impossible to see them. Also, I just thought of that. Nebraska, did you have any family that were affected by that?
No, thankfully everyone was safe. And
oh, good.
Good.
Everyone's good. But yeah.
Okay.
Anywho, shall we get into the topic?
Yep, let's do
Anywho.
It.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We wanted to chat about some places where you can get the vibes of plants, but necessarily not capitalism. Well, I guess capitalism's everywhere. Yeah. Just not buying plants.
Still
it's just
gotta
not
pay
a
for
store.
Admission most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although.
But that's okay. That's okay.
I have some options that are free. Free 99.
Ooh.
You do.
Well, then how about you start, throw one out and let us know what's one of your favorite places.
Okay, well. Those of you that know me know that I absolutely love Garfield Park Conservatory in Chicago, and it is free of charge. They ask for a donation, which I always donate because it's like, it's a lot to upkeep these conservatories, a lot. And a lot of the people that work there are obviously volunteering their time. Like, I've thought about it when I lived in the city because what a joyous job, you know, like you're just watering the aeroids, you're picking off the dead stems of the cactus, you're swimming with the fish. No, just kidding. But there are there's like seven or eight different houses in this one conservatory, and both Adam and Becca have been there before, and each room is a different genus of plant. So you have like the desert room, you have the aeroid room. There's one that's like a children's section and it's loaded with Hoya. It's just really, really pretty. And I love going there. And it's especially fun to go in winter because all year it's at like 85 degrees in there. So it's just, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about Garfield Park Conservatory is like I had the experience there prior to owning plants and being like into house plants and also after. So like I gotta like really understand my plant blindness there, because I remember when I went after owning plants, that's like where I saw a calathea in what mimics its natural environment, and I was like, holy shit, that's gorgeous.
Yeah,
and huge. I was like, dang. It is a really pretty place. It's just vibes.
I brought Becca there, and I remember us walking in, and the first house had Fittonia as ground cover, and she about shat herself in that room because it was everywhere.
I did. Ever since I saw that, I'm like, fuck, I really want Fittonia as ground cover. It's so beautiful somewhere. Yeah.
I wonder how it would do. Like, oh, it would die every winter, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it would die. Maybe in the greenhouse. I was actually thinking like it'd be so pretty to like plant it in between the bricks.
Oh.
But I feel like it's not hardy enough for that. Because, you know, there's some ground cover that can handle foot traffic. I don't think Fittonia is one of them.
Probably not.
I don't think so either. But what about, like, under the benches?
That's true.
Because then it's elevated off the ground, because the ground would still get cold in the greenhouse somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Will it? Oh, yeah, I guess it would.
I think it probably would. But, yeah, that's a good idea. Like, making, like, really shallow planters and just sticking it under there. Then it won't get too much sun either. Because it'll be underneath. That's a good idea. A Fittonia installment.
But that's also where Becca got the idea to do her cactus bench from the cactus room.
The cactus room at the Garfield Park Conservatory is so gorgeous. I remember the first time I went, they had one of their big agave blooming, and they actually had to like remove ceiling panels to let the flower spike go up out of the roof because it was getting so big.
That's cool that they removed that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
it's
so cool.
So beautiful there. And like you could spend hours there hours. Yeah. It's just, it's gorgeous.
When Nicole took me and we went into the desert room, I literally cried. I was in tears. It was so beautiful, and it was so, like, it just took me back home, you know? It was just so, each room feels so special and different. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really being transported. Oh,
yeah.
And the flower room in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Underrated. They do
they call it their showroom, and they do different shows. Mm-hmm. So, like, in the spring, actually, I went there with, was it Brie? I think it was. Or maybe it was an engagement session. I can't remember. But there was the spring floral show, which goes for like a few weeks. And then they'll do like tulips. And then it's just like every season has a different type of flower in there. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10.
They do have a plant shop. They have like a little gift shop, and they sell some plants in there. But it's like no plants that you really want. You know, like it's just like... It's just like little things that you could buy at, like, you know, Home Depot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always said it, they'd make so much money if they took propagations off of these plants, but that's not what they're about. So that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. Also, that's free. I think we said that at the beginning, but right, you don't have to pay to get in the Garfield Park Conservatory.
You do not. No, you don't have to pay. And you can donate. They ask for donations, yeah.
So when you take photos there as a professional, do you have to pay?
No, I don't have to pay. I always leave a donation just because, like, I feel like I walked in, so therefore I should donate something. But the couple has to get a permit through the city of Chicago because the city of Chicago charges everywhere for professional photography. But I think it's only like $35. It's pretty cheap considering the location. And even for weddings, like if you want to do, I've done some wedding photography there. And it's still the same permit price. I mean, you can have your wedding there, which I have yet to photograph a wedding there. I have one inquiry for there right now. And I'm just like, honestly, like, I'll just do it for free. Please shoot there. And I hear it's pretty expensive to get married there, but rightfully so. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, Becca, what's a non-plant shop planty place that you enjoy
going back to Tucson? Adam and I went to the Biosphere 2 and we did a video there. Mm. But prior to that video, the Biosphere 2 was actually a place that I went to as a kid living in Tucson. I think we had a field trip there and my family went as well. So it's kind of like an iconic spot. But the Biosphere 2 has a really funny history as well as being a kind of like a climatron environment. Like it's just like a big glass house. And there's a movie, I think it's called Domes or something like that.
I know there's a documentary that I watched that I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I didn't know about a documentary there, but there is a movie. It's like a spoof on the biodomes experiment. But in short, they locked a bunch of people in the Biosphere 2 to see if and how long they could sustain themselves. And it was a completely sealed environment. And it's a very, very interesting experiment. And unfortunately, it was a failed experiment because they started to run out of oxygen. But it was interesting. They were like self-sustaining. They were growing their own food. They were they had animals in there. So it was very interesting in general. So a cool history thing. But they have a tropical room where it's like where we did the majority of our filming. And it's like all of our tropical plants, so many Epipremnum, a lot of philodendron, also so many Syngonium, like as ground cover, and a bunch of like wild ginger and other tropical plants that like we don't hear about very often. Okay, there's a delivery person coming down and my dogs are about to freak out.
Warning.
Please don't ring the doorbell.
Hey, every time this happens to me, I tell myself, it's great security. No one
can ever sneak up on us. Okay, they also have an ocean biosphere, which has like, you know, it's like a miniature ocean. We didn't get to go in it. Low key, I was a little salty that they were like, do you want to get in? Why would they do that?
Yeah, because I watched videos of people like in scuba gear going in there, and I was like, that would be so fun.
I know. Whoa. So cool. And then they have like a desert biosphere as well. And then like a wetlands biosphere, I think. Anyway, they have like a bunch of different biospheres, and it's just really interesting and intriguing. And the people there are really passionate about their work, and they have a bunch of fruit trees there too, which anybody who works there can just go and pick a fruit and just eat it, which I think is so cool. But yeah, the biosphere too is a little bit of a drive. It's in Oracle, Arizona, which is like probably like 45 minutes ish from like the center of Tucson. It's worth it. It's really cool. I don't remember it being very expensive. It might actually be free. I'll have to double check that. But anyway, yeah, great spot.
It was very cool. They were doing, because I think ASU owns it now, right?
U of A owns it. Or did they change? Oh, U of A.
No, sorry, U of A. Sometimes I get them confused. I'm not from here, okay?
Okay, but that's like such an insult.
You better bear down.
I know. I was like about to be so insulted. I'm like, ASU would never. No, it is. It is owned by U of A, or in large part, at least.
Remember when I saw that guy in the airport with the U of A, and I was gonna walk up to him and be like, "Tell the team to bear down."
You know what? I was somewhere recently and I saw someone. I was out of town. Where did I go recently? Maybe it was in Columbia. Anyway, I saw somebody wearing a U of A hat, and I rolled down my window and I said, "Bear down." And they went, "Yeah." Like, seriously, you can say it and people will always be like, "Yeah."
What if they're just wearing it because maybe they got it at a garage sale and they were like, "What is this bitch talking about?"
To me the other day. I was in a coffee shop and this girl was wearing, like, college girl was wearing like Nebraska sweater, Nebraska hat. And I just go, "Go Huskers." And she looks at me and I don't think she got it. And I was like, "Nebraska, huh?" And she was like, "Oh, yeah, my grandparents are from there."
Yeah.
And I wanted to do like all the chants and be like, "Go Big Red." Go Big Red.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Biodome, the movie with Pauly Shore in one of Billy Baldwin. I used to think he was hot. But have you ever seen Biodome?
No.
The movie?
No.
It is the same thing as Biosphere. And maybe that's a movie Becca's thinking of, but like they literally locked people in to try to, like, it was a bunch of scientists, but then Pauly Shore and his friend like accidentally got in there and they were like locked in there and they were just screwed up the experiment and trying to like, and then that by the end of it, they were like really working to be scientists or whatever. It's a funny movie, but
it's a comedy. Okay.
I always remember the phrase like homeostasis at 90%.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That must be the movie that I keep seeing is the Biodomes movie. I can't imagine they made two movies about it.
But they did do a documentary, like Nicole said, about the biosphere in Arizona.
It was very
good. I
watched
it on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about how like they wanted it to work, but nobody was really scientists. It was just like a group of people from like almost felt like a cult that were like, "Let's do this." Like, how did they get the money? Because I mean, it's cool. The structure is cool.
Right.
We got to go into like places where not the gen pop gets to go. We got to go up into like the library, which was like this crow's nest. We got to see all of these different things that they took us to.
Yeah.
But then in that documentary, they were like secretly pumping oxygen in there because they realized like they couldn't sustain life, but they didn't want to admit that they failed. So they were like bringing in cover of night, like oxygen to pump it in.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? And they all lost like a ton of weight and they looked sick. And I was like, this is just, when do you call it quits? You know? Yeah. Cool experiment. Unfortunately gone wrong, but yeah, it would be cool to see if people could do it again, like under different circumstances, maybe with a higher budget.
Yeah.
With a higher budget, it would be interesting. But they also told us that people could like go and see the biospherians in there, like that you could walk up to the glass and like see them in there. It was like a spectacle. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah,
that was that they showed that in the documentary too. It was like, this is very, it's giving zoo. Okay.
it is giving zoo.
It's funny though, The problems you see arise when people try to recreate like a natural environment. Because when Beck and I were there, they talked about the trees. The trees were so thin, like the stems couldn't even hold the weight of the trees. They were all toppling over because like they never had experienced like wind in nature.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a closed environment. So like the trees they weren't sturdy enough to even hold up their own weight.
Yeah.
Install some fans. Hire someone to shake the fiddles.
Shake everyone to shake the plants.
Could you imagine that email signature? Adam Banzoff, tree shaker.
Tree shaker.
Biosphere 2. That's my job.
Pretty admirable, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I work out the trees, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so my favorite place, non-plant shop place, but also still have to pay to go there and pay a lot. Ooh. So if you go more than once, just get a membership like me. But the Desert Botanical Garden here in town.
Yes.
In Phoenix. Well, Tempe. It is such a gorgeous place. The desert has such, I don't know, before living here, I was just like a desert hater. Not really a hater. I just didn't understand it. But like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand the plants. I didn't understand the diversity. I was just like, whatever. Going to the Desert Botanical Garden really changes your mind because you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of very beautiful plants mm-hmm. that are built to sustain the desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I love going there. It's a tradition for Steve and I. I kind of make it like a Christmas Eve tradition now to just do our little stroll in the garden.
I love that so much.
And it's like warm and you don't even need a coat. So that's nice. And right now everything's blooming. So we need to get there because I want to see all the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go there. I've never been there. I've only been to the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And that was fun. That was beautiful.
It's a good spot. Yeah. I imagine it's just a smaller version of the Phoenix one, right?
Tucson has the aeroid house or the whatever they called it.
The butterfly
Phoenix
room.
Does not have that. Phoenix has a butterfly house, but it's like there's no like fun plants in there. It's just all like, I mean, there's fun plants in there. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like built for that. Whereas the one in Tucson, you got to see like orchid mantis.
Yeah.
You got to see.
That's true. There's a bunch of Hoyas in there too.
Beautiful. Yeah. Hoyas, aeroids. Like it was very humid. It was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I remember taking photos and doing a video in the butterfly room with you guys, and we had them just like landing on us everywhere. They were so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I first saw an imbricata.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
That was when Adam had green hair, right? Was it green or was it bleach blonde?
Blue.
It was like a green. It was like a teal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Arctic fox, man.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Burley Marx exhibit. Yeah, that was fun.
That's
yeah.
right. Didn't I go though? I went there before
as well. You met Becca.
Yeah. And, it was like 110 degrees outside.
In May. Yeah.
In May. Yeah. That was good.
Oh, Nicole.
I sweat off all my makeup. Okay, I have another one. There is a place called the Mitchell Park Domes. Dunes. Hold on. I just had it pulled up here. Domes. Mitchell Park Domes in Wisconsin. What part of Wisconsin is it in? Milwaukee.
Oh, I've seen those domes before.
Yeah, I went there with our dear friend Natalie and Brittany, and it was really cool. There's like three domes, so when you pull up to it, they're just like these huge domes, and each one is a different, you know, climate. And one had cactus in it, and these cactus like literally go all the way up to the ceiling. It was so pretty. Like way more cactus than the Garfield Park Conservatory. So I was quite shook. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's again, another conservatory, but I want to say it was very inexpensive to get in. I don't even remember paying. I know Natalie, I think she has a membership. So like if you go, you know, if you live in the area or around there and you go more than twice, it like pays for itself, I'm sure. But I think it was very, very cheap to go. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was beautiful. And I would totally go back. Milwaukee's only like 45 minutes from me. So
Milwaukee, I always forget how close everything is up there.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that during that little pause. And if we see each other in the summer, if there's time, because Adam's going to be so busy, maybe we can go up there.
I am going to be busy.
With his job.
Oh.
As per my last email. That might be fun. That might be really
fun.
Yeah.
I was... Okay. This one might be a cop-out, but I'm pretty positive that the Mizzou campus here in Columbia, Missouri, is considered a botanical garden. Like, it's registered. Because the campus is just so lovely. So it's not necessarily houseplants, but mm-hmm. I would venture to say that most college campuses are like meticulously maintained as far as their landscaping goes.
Yeah.
Like even U of A, where I went to school, there's this really cool desert scape that was preserved. I think it might have been preserved from the beginning, or they planted stuff there. I don't remember. But it's like untouched, and it's just this really beautiful section in the middle of campus that is like mm-hmm. a full-on miniature desert. So university campuses are very beautiful. All the ones that I've ever been to have really lovely plants, and that's free. If it's a public campus, of course,
yeah,
don't trespass. But yeah, that's a really great way to see plants.
I would even yeah. venture to say that California probably has a lot of amazing campus
100%.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about Chicago and I'm like, well, Northwestern, for example, is off the lake and it's Chicago. So everything freezes. But like, yeah, West Coast or even like Florida. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
I bet it's so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Zoos are also a really great place to see plants.
Yeah.
I just remember growing up, we had in Omaha, the Henry Dorley Zoo, we would always go for field trips and they had the rainforest.
Mm.
And they built this like building that mimicked an actual rainforest. And so there's a lot of plants in there and some fake trees and stuff. I haven't been there since I've been into plants though. So like, I want to go back and see if there's actually real plants in there.
Yeah.
I would imagine there is.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually going to talk about that because we have... Lincoln Park Conservatory is right next to Lincoln Park Zoo, which is where I do a lot of engagement photos, wedding photos, because they have like this nature boardwalk. And I was thinking about like the monkey exhibit and the amphibian exhibits. Like there's all real tropical plants in those cages. I'm mm-hmm. certain of it because I remember yeah. seeing it.
It's the same at the St. Louis Zoo. The reptile room had a lot of In the individual enclosures, there was like Hoya and
that's different... what I meant. Reptile, not amphibian. Reptile.
It's all the same to me.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, zoos. There is a place in town here called Agritopia, which has like a lot of fruit trees. Like it's like an orchards of fruit trees here in town, but then also it has a lot of community garden spots, and it's really fun to walk through there because you have a mix of people that are growing like food, gardening
mm-hmm.
there. But then you also have like people who do cut flower beds and all of these things.
Mm.
And so they just like rent a plot, set up their stuff. Some of them put like chairs in there so you can just sit there and enjoy it. Oh, like that yes. kind of stuff.
That's nice.
Is really fun to me.
Oh, I love that.
And then there's a good, you know, food place right next to it. Joe's Farm Grill. So
mm-hmm. Joe got the hook.
Oh, Joe.
Good old Joe. Wow.
Do you guys have spots like that that you have around?
There's a lot in the city. Where I'm at, not really, but there's quite a few places like that. And like New York City, if you're going this is plant shopping, but like there's so many hidden plant shops in New York City, specifically the Lower East Side, because that's where Jay's family is located. But and there's so many like cute little spots, cute little tiny gardens in between like giant apartments. There's like these little secret gardens that the neighborhood keeps up. I think there was an article on them not that long ago, or maybe like right when I started houseplant collecting. Every like block you'd see this garden that was just kept up by people in the community. I think Summer Rain Oaks did a video on it too. And you mm-hmm. could just go there and you could just sit there and... There's food places all over the place, you know? So mm-hmm. I thought that was yeah. really cool. Chicago should that do more so stuff cool. like that.
I feel like big cities should... Well, I see sometimes like rooftop gardens, but I feel like big cities yes. should have like a plot. You know what I mean? Like where you can rent that plot on top of the roof and it's like set up like a community garden. Like that would be mm-hmm. so cool.
Yep.
It would.
Yeah,
it needs to happen.
Yeah,
we have a little, it's called Shelter Gardens. It's actually run by an insurance company here in town. And I love going there. I mean, not that anybody's going to go to Columbia, but I guess this is just an encouragement to like look around your town to see these little oases that exist because they are there probably. But it's
yeah.
like behind an apartment building, like it's kind of like tucked away. And it's like a big loop walking path, and there's like a shade garden, and they have a Japanese garden. They have like a hibiscus garden. I don't know. It's just really cool. And an old schoolhouse that you can like walk into, and it's beautiful. I love going there just to walk around. It's very peaceful.
How far is Mizzou from you?
Like 15 minutes. It's in the center of town.
There might be some Mizzou kids listening to the podcast, and now you just told them about it. So there you go.
Maybe.
There is, that reminded me, wait, what were you just talking about, Becca?
Walking path, schoolhouse, shade garden.
Oh, Japanese garden. Japanese garden. I feel like every big city has a Japanese garden, and they're so beautiful.
They're so beautiful. Yeah.
Like the peacefulness. It's like in a little Angetti there. So yeah, look up a Japanese garden. There's one in town. I've never been to the one in Phoenix, but there's a Japanese friendship garden. Yeah. It costs to get in.
I've heard of
that. I need to go.
You need to go. Put it on the list.
Yeah.
You should go.
I mean, the tunnel on I-10 goes underneath it. And every time I'm in that tunnel, I just think about the tunnel caving in.
Okay.
I hate tunnels.
Don't think of that. Mm. Have you ever been, speaking of tunnels, in the... Is it the Holland Tunnel in New York? Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Oh. Because it goes under the river.
Yeah.
There was a movie about it.
I've been
in
one in Maryland. There's a one in Maryland that goes under the Chesapeake Bay or something. I've been in that tunnel.
But I don't like it. My claustrophobia does not appreciate it at all. Mm-mm.
No.
It's too long, too. Anyway, those were some good options. Well,
they are good options, but we want more. So let us know if you have some great options, especially in the cities that you're in. So take some time, post a photo in your stories about some of your favorite places. Maybe we'll keep a highlight reel or something.
Mm-hmm.
But tag us over on Instagram at Potted Together. If you want more of the beginning of this episode where we do a lot of catch-ups and or get a little more spicy, hit us up on Patreon. There's fun things over there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, not spicy as in like sexual, okay? Calm down.
That's our OnlyFans.
No nudes.
That's our OnlyFans, okay? Which we have linked in the description box.
Yep.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
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 When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.